The title was God Knows You and Has Provided For You. Y'all remember that? You know, you can't just take one scripture out of the Bible and build a doctrine on it. Because if something is the truth, it'll be in the Bible from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. There's what's called law of first mention. The place that it's first mentioned, and then it'll run all the way through there somehow or another. So what we talked about last week is God knowing us. He was talking to Jeremiah. Then David was talking to God. Y'all remember that? But the things that they were saying, that God was saying about Jeremiah, he's also said about you. Remember? Because it's not just Jeremiah that he knew. When God created Adam, he created all mankind inside of Adam. I told Scotty this morning, I said, I had this thought, and I told Scotty, I said, you know what? He's like, what? Because he never knows what I'm going to say. I said, to a certain degree, I carried my grandkids. He's like, what? I said, I carried your son that was the seed for them too. So to a certain degree, I carried my grandkids. Because see, that's how come Jesus couldn't have an earthly father. Joseph could not be his daddy. Because that would have been corrupted seed. That's why God was his father and Mary was his mother. And she also came from the lineage of David. Right? All right, so we're going to call this part two this morning. I have a song that I told Beth. I said, I don't know if I really want to play it or not play it. I guess just go ahead, Beth.
At the flowers in all of their beauty, I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. Yes, that's true. So why would I worry at all? 'Cause you're faithful to serve. Let's just declare this together. Sing, everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. And every single time, the Lord will provide. That's right. My Father has it, it's my Father has it. Yes, he does. Oh, my Father. Yes, I trust. And look at the sparrow, working for nothing. No fear of tomorrow, and what it will bring. Oh, you were enough. If I have you, I have enough. 'Cause you're yes, I know. The kingdom, just seek first the kingdom.
Sounds like Matthew 6, don't it? sounds like Corinthians. I can't think of what verse it is now. But it says, all of his promises in him are yes, and in him amen. He said yes. I thought about it. I thought, God's favorite word is yes. Y'all ain't saying nothing. If you asked Aubrey and Aiden what's their daddy's favorite word, you know what they'll tell you? No. Oh, but God's favorite word is yes, and so be it. You know, I was thinking about the prodigal son. Y'all know the story. We won't go back and read it or anything, but this is not really, well, I guess it is. I was going to say it's not really my message, but hey, whatever he says, right? Whether I got it on the paper or I don't. But anyway, I thought about the prodigal son. You know, the Bible says that he had two sons, you know, and he divided their inheritance to them and everything. And the one took it off, you know, and squandered it and all that stuff and everything. And then he got real hungry and he didn't have no friends and all that stuff, to the point to where now he's feeding pigs. And for a Jewish kid or person to feed pigs, that is on the bottom of the totem pole, boy. That is just a no-no. But anyway, he remembered how good that it was in his father's house. The Bible says he actually came to himself. And he said, I'll go back and become like one of his servants. Right? Even the servants eat good in the father's house. So the Bible says that he started back, you know, and all of that. And the Bible says that the father looked afar off and seen him coming down the road. Do you know the father represents God, our Father? If we've been born again. And the Bible says that his father, he didn't just wait till he got to the front porch. He ran out there after him. And he kissed him and he hugged him. And the Bible said he put his ring on his finger and a robe around him and said, go kill that fatted calf. The one that we've been saving. Because my son that was dead has now come home again. And you know, Richard, he didn't make him a servant. He said, my son. So everything that the father still had was still his while he lived in the house when he come back again. God is so good. You know, they used to get mad at Oral Roberts because when he would get up there, he would say, something good is going to happen to you today. That's kind of like getting mad at somebody for saying, make America great again. I mean, how can you be mad about that? Why would you be mad? Why would you not want America to be great? Why would you not want God to do something good for somebody? See, sometimes there's misconception and wrong thinking about God. Right? Anyway, I don't know if I want to go back to that or not. I guess just go to Jeremiah right quick. We'll try to recap this just a little bit, and then I want to move on. Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, we read this last week. This will be just a little recap, so we'll try to do this quickly and then move on to what I need to get to today. But Jeremiah chapter 1, and for time's sake, I'm going to not read it in both of them like I did last week. I'm going to read this just in the Amplified Bible. Chapter 1, starting in verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, there is the word know or knew, which means like an acquaintance. I knew you or whatever. But then there's also an intimate knowing. Like where it says Adam knew his wife Eve, that's an intimate knowing. How many knows before you ever got here, God had an intimate knowing about you because you was in him before he ever put you in Adam. Where would you come from if he did not? Outer space? No. You came, every one of us came out from the inside of God and was put on the inside of Adam, right? All mankind came through Adam. All right. So he's talking to every one of us. So before I formed you in the womb, I knew, notice what it's, and I approved of you. I don't know about y'all, but that is good news to me because I've had a lot of people in my lifetime that has not approved of me, and I still have some today. But God says, I approved of you. Does that mean he likes all my mess? No. But listen, God loves me absolutely unconditionally. And he is totally dedicated to changing me and giving me the life that he had planned for me. And that life is good according to Jeremiah 29:11, right? He said, I know the plans that I have for you. One translation says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, which translates plans. He said, to give you an expected end, a hope, a confident expectation for your future. It's a good plan. Will there be hard times in it? Of course they will. I mean, gosh, if the devil wouldn't be the devil if he didn't try to do hard things to you. The devil wouldn't be the devil if he didn't try to lie to you, steal from you, kill, and all that stuff. Right? Because the Bible says he's the one that kills, steals, and destroys. But God says, I got a good plan for you. And it didn't start when you got born again. It started when me and you was on the inside of God. That's how come me and Scotty, when we got together, we wasn't thinking nothing about God, didn't want nothing to do with God, but God said, he's part of the plan for you. She's part of the plan for you. He says, I approved of you as my chosen instrument. God has chosen every one of us for something. He says, and before you were born, means out of your mother's womb, I separated and set you apart, consecrated you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, he appointed Jeremiah a prophet to the nations. You might not be called to be prophet to the nations, but you're called to be something. He goes on. He says, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am only a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you. He's with every one of us. To deliver you, don't the Bible say that he delivers us out of all of our troubles, our infirmities? Of course he does, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Whatever inadequacy me and you have in ourselves, he makes up for it. Just like here. Y'all remember Isaiah? He said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel took the coals off the altar and touched his lips. And then he said, God, send me. Moses couldn't speak good. He stuttered. So God said, okay, I'm going to give you Aaron to speak for you. Any inadequacy that me and you have, when we don't measure up to be able to do what God tells us to do and calls us to do, he qualifies us, he equips us, and he provides for it. You need strength, he is your strength. Right? I can do all. Listen, and we have heard this stuff till it has just become religiousness to our ears. But we need to mix faith with the scriptures. That I can, you can do all things. How? Through Christ who does what? He strengthens me. When I'm physically weak, he'll strengthen me. When I'm spiritually weak, he'll strengthen me. When my mind is all disturbed and going all kinds of directions and trying to worry, he says he'll give me perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He said he gives me his peace, not as the world gives, but his peace, right? He said, and that peace passes all understanding. People look at you when you're going through what seems like hell in the hallway, and they're like, I don't know how in the world they do it. I would have lost my mind a long time ago. And you stand there right in the peace of God, not moved one way to the left or to the right. Right? But you got to mix your faith with what he said.
He goes on here. What is it? Verse 9. No, 10. Well, 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Now skip up to verse 18. For I, behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the successive kings of Judah, against its princes and against its priests and against the people of the land, giving you divine strength which no hostile power can overcome. Doesn't the Bible say in the New Testament, me and you, when we get born again, we are more than conquerors? What that means is you whoop them and their mama too. Did y'all hear what I said? You whoop them and their mama. Then he goes on and he says, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not finally prevail against you. What's the Bible say in the New Testament?
Nothing and nobody can prevail against us if God is for us. And he is, ain't he? Of course he is. He loves you. He knew you. He's got a good plan for me and you. He says, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not finally prevail against you, for I am with you. The Bible says in Isaiah, I will be your rear guard. So in other words, God's got your front, he's got your back, and all the way around. He says, for I am with you, says the Lord, he says, to deliver you. Now, I don't want to run out of time before I get to that, but let's look at Psalm 139. Now, this is David. We read this last week, but I'm going to try to read it quickly. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen. I believe, to be correct, Monty says Amplified Classic. Is that right? Because there's a difference. I didn't know there was a difference until Monty told me. But anyway, verse 1. This is David talking to God. He says, O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. Last week we read the scriptures over there in Hebrew that says not a creature is hidden from God. Its thoughts. See, and when you think about it, the devil is a created being. Right? Then what that means is not one of his thoughts, plans, schemes, lies, nothing that he thinks or plans on doing is hid from God. That's one reason why you can't ever whoop him. Because God has foreknowledge and foresight. He knows absolutely everything according to Scripture. Before he ever started the plans here on the earth, he done played it out on the inside of him. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He knew exactly what mankind was going to do. And he loved us so much and wanted us in his plan so much, he provided before they ever done it. You talk about an awesome God. Some of this stuff that I have been thinking about and coming up to me, it's taking mind renewal on my part. Of just how big and amazing God is. If God can do all of that, why would he not pay my light bill, Johnny? You mean that's going to be something big to him when he created the cosmos? All the planets, all the stars, the sun, the moon, you know, just like a baby formed in a mother's womb. How does all that happen? He is an amazing God. And the Bible said there's nothing too hard for our God. And the Bible also says those who do know their God, they shall do exploits. That word exploits translates extraordinary things. Who in the world ever heard of an axe head coming off, going into a pond or a lake when you're using the thing, and it's borrowed, so you got to buy it or give it back or whatever. Y'all remember the story? And the guy starts crying out, you know, oh, God, and Lord, it was borrowed and all of that. I think it was Elisha, wasn't it? It's Elijah or Elisha, but I think it was Elisha. He says, I go over there and cut a certain kind of stick off a certain kind of tree and throw it in the water. Are you kidding? Now, it takes faith to do that. But the guy done it. He goes over there, throws it in the water. You know what happens? I don't know if the thing got wings, if it got hands and legs. I don't know. It's an absolute miracle. That's not naturally supposed to happen. According to Scripture, that axe head didn't float because iron don't float. The Bible says it swam. If God cares about a borrowed axe head, because the guy's going to be in debt, don't you think he's got more than 101 ways to fix mine and your little nitpicking problems? Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, he is an absolutely awesome God. But see, the problem don't lie on God's side. If there is a problem, it's on mine and your side. Because see, well, a lot of times what we do, yeah, I hear that scripture, and yeah, I hear that, and yeah, I believe that, but then here comes the devil and you, but you know what you did last week. You know that bad thought you had toward your wife yesterday. You know that kind of crabby attitude that you had. You know you should have not have looked at so-and-so. And then you begin to base all this on your merit. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible say that. Me and you was so unworthy. The best one on the planet. Unworthy. But the Bible says Jesus Christ and His blood has made me and you worthy. By His grace. Grace gives you what you can't obtain in yourself. Grace gives you favor. Kind of like this. Now this has been years that we've been working on this stuff. And learning and growing and developing. Because when you get born again, the Bible says you're born again like a newborn baby. You don't know nothing. Except you, the Lord loves you and you love Him. You know, and you want to go to church and read your Bible. And desires have changed on the inside. But for years now, y'all have heard the story about Scotty's rich, you know, and we live in poverty and yada, 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 all that stuff and everything. But what I want to get to is this. He began to develop sayings, decrees, and declaring things according to the Word. The Bible says, in Jesus, me and you have been given grace. Unmerited, undeserved, nothing you can do to get it, favor. So he says this about his business. Thank you, Lord, people that don't even like me buy garage doors from me. How dumb is that? If I don't like you, I don't want to see you, I don't want nothing to do with you, I'm going to call somebody else. No, 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 no. Favor gives you what you don't deserve and what you could not get by yourself. You know what happens, Richard? I'm standing there sometimes when people call. Call him about garage doors. He'll give them a price. Car! One guy, he texted him and said, woo, in a text. You know what happens? They still buy them. I hear them. They'll tell him, well, I got a price from so-and-so and another one from so-and-so. And he'll be like, well, I can't help it. You know, that is what it is. You know, go with them if you need to. I understand. No, you're higher. Are you serious? I'm looking for the best deals, ain't we, Samantha? Cheapest price. Not when you got favor. And they absolutely tell him this stuff, Richard. I don't mean to keep saying your name, but anyway, you know what it is, I'm sure. Anyway, and they'll tell him, you're higher than so-and-so, and I got this price from so-and-so and that price. And, you know, a few years ago, you know, a contractor, you put them in for this price. Well, things has went up, and it is what it is, you know. Can't you sharpen your pencil? No, my pencil sharp as it's going to get. And they'll say, just go ahead. I'm like, then I have heard them tell him and seen in text, they tell him, I don't like you. I just don't like you. But go on and put them doors in anyway. Am I lying? Travis works with him. He hears it and sees it. It's called favor. So you two, y'all need to get down there and tell angels, go to the four winds of the earth. All those people that's thinking about buying buildings, looking at buildings, going to buy buildings. Thank you, Lord, they buy buildings from us because your favor, God, is on us. And we are blessed and we're going to be a blessing to these people. And then they're going to start telling you, Richard, I don't like you. But give me that building right over there, I guess. Jennifer, you're too high. But I guess I want that one right there. Favor don't make no sense. Grace don't make no sense.
See, it's not dependent on you and how good you are, because you can't never be good enough. You might be good for, I say I was good for 8 or 9 years, but then I messed up a couple weeks ago, and I got in the flesh, and it was bad in the flesh. Do you know what I had to do? I have to repent and forget that. And I can't base anything else that I'm believing God for on my action at that time. He said, if I repent, He's faithful and just to forgive me. Therefore, He don't bring it up to me no more. If it's brought up to you, the devil's doing it. Or your own conscience. Whew. And then y'all know the saying that he came up with. I'm not talking about just saying something, blabbing it out your mouth. I'm talking about something you get in here. Not up here. Something you get in here, and it will always correspond in somehow or another. Might not be word for word, but it will go along with what's right here. Then y'all started hearing him, and I think Sandy started saying it too. What is that saying? Bigger jobs, less work, more money. Now, if you don't know him, you'd think he's lazy and don't want to work. Right? With that saying. But see, according to Proverbs 10:22, right? I said it'll go along with the word. According to Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing has been put on you the day you got born again. And it is an empowerment to prosper and have good success. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and what? Adds no sorrow. I believe it's the Amplified Classic says, and toiling, working, passing out cards does not increase it. 80 hours a week does not increase it. Believing and walking in it increases it. Not that the blessing increase, but the blessing that you can, your capacity to receive more and more. So y'all know the story, right? Y'all know what happened. After a little time goes by, he starts getting bigger jobs, less work, and more money. Woo! And mama's happy. The daddy says it. Why am I saying this? Because it's scripture. And when I say rich, I'm not talking about everybody that's a Christian going to have $1 billion. That's not scriptural. To some people this morning, if you had something to eat for supper last night and a bed or a floor to sleep on and some breakfast, you are rich. But see, we usually always look at people that's got way more than us to determine rich. But according to Scripture, rich is you are blessed and you got more than enough, Richard, so you can be a blessing. Ain't that what he told Abraham? I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Where do we get to? Gosh, I ain't got about 15 minutes here. Where am I at? God, this is Ezekiel. Where are we supposed to be? Oh, why am I needing... I didn't even get started on that, did I? He says, O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. So God knows when you sit down and when you get up, right? He knows when you go to sleep. He knows when you wake up. But notice what... When you think about this, don't just think about what the Scripture says. His eye is watchfully on you at all times. The Bible says in 1 Peter, because He cares for you. Get that, how much God loves you. The Bible says His ears are open to the cry of the righteous. I thought about it this morning about His children over in Egypt. Y'all remember what he told Moses? He said, I've heard the cries of my people and I've seen their bondage. So what did he do? He sent Moses. God hears our cries. He knows every thought that we have. He knows every feeling that we have. The Bible says that we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses. Right?
God, I'm telling you, He loves us. He watches over us all the time. He said, you understand my thought afar off. You sift and search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue still unuttered. I ain't even said it yet. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether already, before you even say it. You have beset me and shut me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Your infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high above me. I cannot reach it. Where could I go from your spirit, or where could I flee from your presence? There's nowhere that you can go that God does not see you. And He loves you. That is an awesome. Do you understand? The Bible says that it's that perfected or that matured love. It's going to cast out all that fear of Him not taking care of you. That's going to cast out all that fear of what people's going to do to you. That's going to cast out all of that fear of Him not going to meet your needs. Because see, God has no greater desire than to be believed, trusted. And He's never given any of us a reason not to. Not one of His words has ever fell to the ground without being performed. He said He watches over His word to perform it. Right? Make sure it comes to pass in our lives. But it's got to be in our hearts and coming out of our mouths. It ain't just going to fall on you. Why? You got a real devil. Do you understand? They are in the second heavens, and before anything gets up or down, it goes through them first. And they are there to oppose you at every turn. But they have no power over you if you don't let them. I'm not going to finish reading that. I want to, probably everybody in here knows it, Genesis. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void and all that. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. He's waiting on the word of the Lord. It doesn't say that, but I mean, that's what's happening. But anyway, the Bible says God looked out over the earth and He seen the darkness and He said, let there be light. Right? That's not the day He made the sun. That's the day He made light. The day, in other words. Okay, the Bible talks about how that He created the firmament and He created the sun and the moon and the stars and the grass and the trees and all the different kinds of fruit that is in the trees and all the nuts that's in the trees, not your family members, but I'm talking about pecans and walnuts and things like that, right? He made all of that. The last thing He made, Sandy, was man. Why? Because had He not made all of that before, man would have had a need. This is from the beginning all the way through the book. You cannot have a need in this earth that God has not already provided for. Not a one. Genesis chapter 2, I believe it's about verse 11, it talks about God put the gold in the earth. Before He made the man. Y'all get it? See, God's not reacting to mine and your situations and circumstances. God's not reacting to the devil. God's done acted. Now, me and you can react to what the devil's doing or saying, but God cannot. He's already provided everything that we could ever possibly need, just like the song said. If you need it, God has provided it, but it takes faith for you to receive it. And He said, in Him, all His promises, they're already yes. You need healing, He's provided healing, hasn't He? He said, if you have a need, I will supply all of your needs. How? According to my riches. There's nobody richer than God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. All the gold and all the silver is His. Everything, the earth and the fullness thereof, is His. Now, mankind has a lease on it right now. But far as ownership, it belongs to God. So me and you can never have a need. Not spiritually. He's provided everything. The Bible says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Right? He says He has already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Bible says in the Amplified Classic, it says God has given us grace heaped.
heaped upon grace. You know what that is? Well, I see that big old bushel basket full of grace with another big old bushel basket of grace and another big old bushel. No, you can't get to the end of it. Like I said, you need strength. He's provided it. Oh, if you're dumb as dirt, He can make you wise. He said, if a man lacks wisdom, what? Ask me. Didn't He say that in James? I don't know about y'all, but without Him, I am dumb as dirt. And I make dumb decisions. That's why my life was in such a cotton-picking mess. And if I don't stay in Him now, it becomes a cotton-picking mess again. Why? Because I got to stay in the plan. But if I get out and I will turn, that's what repentance means, I will turn, He'll weave me right back into that plan. Because He knew I was going to get out, Sandy, before I ever got out. He's not reacting to my getting out. He's done provided for my getting out. Not that I ever have to, but if I do, He can put me right back in there if I humble myself and I'm willing. That's just like you guys. Don't go after careers because of money. There's people today, they'll tell you, they make hundreds of thousands of dollars and they are so sick of getting up and going to a job every day. Because that's not the thing that was in the plan of God. See, you find out what plan God has for you. And usually it comes by the desires that's in your heart. And that plan will be blessed. People tell their kids, oh, baby, you can be whatever you want to. No, you can't. You can't be whatever you want to. Some people's tried that, and there's still nothing. All right, let's see. So over in Genesis, He created absolutely everything. Then He made mankind, right? There wasn't anything that He hadn't created. He had done made the tree of life, right? The Bible says He had done made the trees with all the fruit and all of that. Then He created man, and the Bible says because He was alone, it's not good that man should be alone. And then He created Eve, and then He put him in the garden. He could have put him outside the garden. But He put him in the garden where everything, and the Bible says, and God blessed them. He put the blessing on them. That makes you rich. That does not increase with working. They wasn't supposed to work. They were supposed to take that blessing that was on them according to Scripture and replenish the earth with it. In other words, furnish the entire earth with this blessing. And they didn't. So let's look at so they didn't ever have a need that God didn't provide for. You know, and God knew what was going to happen. And when He came to them, you know, whenever they was He was coming to talk to them like He usually does, you know, and Adam, He run away in fear and all of that. Sandy, He killed animals. That's the first shedding of blood. See, I told you, law of first mention. All throughout this Bible, you'll find blood. And in the Old Testament, it had to be the blood of a lamb. Blood of lamb, blood of lamb. Why? Because that whole thing is pointing to the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. But He killed the animals and took those skins and clothed them with it. After they messed up royally. Oh, I don't know about y'all, but that's good news to me. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because I ain't got about 5 minutes here. And I need to get to this. 1 Corinthians chapter, and you'll hear people quote some of this, and they don't finish the whole thing here. But for time's sake, we're going to start reading here, Amplified Version, in verse 6. But just to tell you a little bit before that, 1 through 5 or whatever, He's talking to them. He tells them, He said, I didn't come talking, speaking to you in tiresome words of man's wisdom, you know, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit and all of that is what He's talking about. And then here in verse 6, He says, yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. What? and it's Christ. Notice this. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or of this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. But rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of His presence. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, the devil ain't all knowing. He ain't all he cracks himself up to be. He says, they didn't know it and all that. He says, they would never have did what? Crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because the devil thought in crucifying Him, I'll stop him. God knew those was His thoughts, His plans, before He ever even thought them. He can't win. He just can't. Sandy, he worked right into, did the will of God. The Bible says it was the will of God to bruise him for me and you. Right? That's why Scotty says the devil works for me. The devil worked right into the plan of God. God knew he would do it. Because he didn't know that when he crucified him, all he's doing is loosing him and making all of us. Oh, my goodness. This is good stuff. I'm getting stirred up here. But on the contrary, as the Scripture says, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared beforehand, made and keeps ready for those who love Him. That's me and you. We love Him, don't we? Who hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him and gratefully recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed. Listen, revealed means He didn't put it there. It was already there, but you couldn't see it, and He pulled back the curtain. He says, and has been revealed and revealed them by and through His Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehends the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. Spirit of God's in me and you if you've been born again. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. That's me and you. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into questions, and discerns all things. Yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. Now, I told you last week, the devil's not the enemy of God. According to Scripture, he's mine and your enemy, right? The Bible says he's our adversary, so we could say he's our enemy. But the thing that I have found out that the Bible says is an enemy of God is a Christian that thinks carnally. What does that mean? Carnal means it is human thinking, reasoning without the Holy Spirit. See, that's like
God says, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'm talking about natural things. A carnal mind, Sandy, will say, well, I know the Bible says that, but, right here, the Bible doesn't say that as a man is. The Bible says a man is as he thinks. And I am wherever I think I am. See, you can be sitting in here this morning, and I'm doing Sunday school here, and it's good to some people, but you can be at home. Come on now. Right here, you can be at home washing dishes or whatever you need to do, going to birthday parties, you're over at what? I'm telling you, you are wherever you are right here. See, that's how come Scotty takes his billfold and he runs outside. And he runs out there in his underwear around and around the house, around the trailer, hollering how rich he is when the man is so broke he can't pay attention. Because he spiritually discerned the word says I'm the head and not the tail, that I will lend and not borrow. The blessing of the Lord on me makes me rich and adds no sorrow. Therefore, I am a spiritual man. I think spiritually. I am rich. Do you get what I'm saying? He doesn't have a carnal mind. He has renewed his mind to think what the word says. And there is no but in a spiritually minded person. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you don't love God. Everything we just got through, he says it must be spiritually discerned by a spiritual man. You can be born again and be carnal as any unsaved person. That's what he goes on and tells them in chapter 3. Right? I wanted to come talk to you as spiritual, but I couldn't because you're carnal, because you fight and you envy and you debate and yada, yada, yada. It's like you may not even been saved because you still think the same way you always thought. But God is faithful. He'll help us. I'm going to have to stop because I'm actually a little bit over. According to Romans 12, too, we must renew our mind. God wants us to think His thoughts. He give us the Holy Spirit. See, it hasn't... No, this eye right here hasn't seen, Johnny, the things God has prepared for me. I do see them in here. I have spiritual eyes. And spiritual eyes see them. He told them, he said, some of you, he said, you ain't hearing what I'm saying. He's not talking that they didn't have ears out here. You don't have spiritual ears to hear what I'm saying. So see, the Word of God has to renew your mind, and then you begin to see, and your imagination begins to imagine the Word coming to pass in your life, and your mind will show you imagination. It'll give you a video. So will the carnal. That's what your mind does. Your mind remembers, and your mind imagines. You can pull up any file out of your mind, any memory that you have, and you can put yourself right back into that place where you got your feelings hurt. You can even start crying. You just feel so bad. Mama died 25 years ago. Why? Because in your mind, you went right back there to where you was that day. I have got to stop, y'all. I'm telling you now. Y'all going to get me in trouble. All right. Does anybody got anything they'd like to share quickly?